We're speaking with Gordon Carpenter and Gretchen Minton, who are putting on The Enemy of the People here in Bozeman. I'm talking to them about the play and about some of their ideas about putting on this play. Maybe we could just start with one of you telling us about how this play was chosen to be presented this year.
Want to take that one?
Sure, I can do that.
Yeah.
So for the last three seasons now in the fall, Bozeman Actors Theater has been doing a play on MSU campus that has themes relevant to science and other interdisciplinary concerns that can draw the entire university community together and also people from around the town and the region into discussions, shared concerns that we all have. And so 2 years ago, we did a play called Copenhagen. Last year, we did Life of Galileo. And this year, we're doing An Enemy of the People. So what all three of these plays share in common is themes about science that tries to make science intelligible to an arts crowd and to the general public, but also pressing ethical issues. So in Copenhagen, it was ethics about the development of the atom bomb. In Life of Galileo, it had to do with that quest for knowledge and Galileo's knowledge being suppressed by the Roman Catholic Church. And here in An Enemy of the People, what we've chosen is this play that's about a scientist who tests the waters in a spa town and finds that they're full of harmful bacteria. And he brings this to the town and says it's going to make people sick, but he comes up against the economic interests of the town. So all three of these plays were written in the past, varying degrees in the past, but they all bring up very relevant concerns for the 21st century. So when we chose Enemy of the People, we thought that this would be an ideal opportunity to enter into discussion and dialogue with the people of our area.
Anything you want to add to that,
Gordon? The relevancy of all these plays is tremendous, and the especially with Enemy of the People now, we see. I mean, I look daily at the newspaper and for inspiration for the evening's rehearsal because there's so much that is relevant to our current situation, science under siege. And civil strife created by polar opposite points of view are two things that really pop in this piece.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean that this play is over 130 years old, I think, now? If the same play were written last year, what would the impact or the meaning for the audience? How would it be different? You know, is there special significance, do you think? This is an older play rather than written last year?
It's also, because it's adapted by Arthur Miller in the 50s, it's brought a little closer to our time, but still antiquated in some ways. And in many ways, he didn't really tamper with he sets it in that old world of Ibsen, 1880s Norway. But his language is a little more perhaps accessible to a modern audience. But again, I find that there is so many relevancies that I don't know that you could write a better play today without beating an audience over the head and with a didactic political message. It's tremendous.
Yeah, and what I would add to that is I love doing classical plays, and I know Gordon does too. We've had fun together adapting and talking about Shakespeare, about Brecht and Ibsen. And classical plays like this, older plays, often just give you the opportunity to be free and adaptable, but also to show that certain issues really are timeless. In this case, unfortunately so. We wish that the play didn't seem so relevant to us. But a story that I've been telling a lot of people is when I taught a course on drama, science, and ethics a year ago, we read An Enemy of the People. And in that class, I had a student from Butte, a student from Libby, and a student from Flint, Michigan. I had all three of these locations represented among my students. And when we read this Ibsen play, these students said, "This play is about my community. This is about the environmental impact and the health impact that my family and friends have suffered." And so it's incredibly timely. And I think when people realize that these are not new issues, but issues that have been going on for decades and even centuries. It's not only urgent, but it's deeply historically relevant in terms of the same mistakes we make and the same knee-jerk reactions that get us into these situations that we don't seem to be able to resolve.
Is the play in part autobiographical? Did Ibsen himself face some of the same issues that the protagonist in the play does with, you know, a public or a society that rejected him in some ways? Is that, I don't know much about Ibsen's
Well,
life,
there is that thought that he wrote this in response to some critical reaction that he got for a previous play called Ghosts. And Ibsen was, I'm going to let Gretchen take most of this because she's smarter about this than I am. But there was, he was really, really assaulting, I think, middle-class values in his time. And the play Ghosts really did, I think, was rather shocking to a theater audience at that time. And the story is that he wrote this play in response to that event. But maybe you should take some more of that.
Yeah, I can add a little bit of that. So Ibsen was, he's often hailed as the first modern dramatist. And what that means is that he was reacting against a strain that he saw in 19th century drama that he associated with this sort of bourgeois complacency, right? It's all about this comfortable life and homes and money and this kind of veneer of society. And he understood that what was underneath this comfortable bourgeois lifestyle was a lot of hypocrisy. So he was interested in peeling back those layers and highlighting the hypocrisy. So that might have to do with the myth of the comfortable marriage that we get in A Doll's House and financial situations related to that as well. And in Ghosts, he brought out issues like syphilis that nobody in drama at the time was willing to talk about. And he thought that other intellectuals of the day, especially on the left, would see a play like Ghost and say, thank God you're talking about these issues. We should stop being hypocritical. We should stop being complacent. But there was a pushback against A Doll's House, against Ghosts, and other plays of this time. And Ibsen thought, why don't you understand that this is the truth? Why don't you understand that these are issues that we should talk about? And I do think that there's a certain connection between the main character of An Enemy of the People, Dr. Stockman, and Ibsen. And Ibsen himself said, you know, I see more than a little of myself in Dr. Stockman. But he said, yeah, but Dr. Stockman is also more muddle-headed than I am. And that was Ibsen's clue that even though Dr. Stockman is heroic in some ways, he's also not perfect. But from that perspective, back to your original question, I think that there is a bit of Ibsen's autobiography in this play, but not in necessarily a straightforward, direct sense about that identification.
Mm-hmm. So when you're staging a play and possibly making adaptations or just putting on this kind of performance, how do you think about themes that you might want to emphasize? I mean, you've already alluded to the theme of attacking hypocrisy and so on, but do you think about particular things that you want to emphasize in the play and how to bring those out in terms of how the actors speak and move and the sets that you use and so on?
There's so many angles to this play, but where I like to start with is the human quality, the characters. And this is something that goes back to Ibsen as a great playwright. I think you can also attribute to him really creating full, rich, three-dimensional characters for actors and directors to work with. I think that probably, I might be going too far to say that drama at that time was pretty flat and two-dimensional. I think much of it might have been. And just as, you know, Shakespeare's, there's a great Harold Bloom book that I thought, the Invention of the Human, which is attributed to Shakespeare being one of the first playwrights to really start to create full characters. Ibsen certainly does that, and these characters are so full of wonderful human qualities, flaws and contradictions and hypocrisies and things that really, I mean, most of us have those flaws. We're all human beings. And so I like to start with the human element and the relationships that these people have. Very, very brilliantly, I think. I mean, it was the world Ibsen was writing in, but setting this in a small town makes it that much more tragic to me, because these people all know each other. There's family, there's lifetime friends, there's marriages, there's, you know, in-laws. It's connected, and so I think that the political strife that comes out of it has that much more impact. So I like to start with that human element, and then from there we can see there's political themes, there's environmental themes, any number of themes that you can then build on, and all of that will definitely color the technical and setting aspect of the piece.
Do you have a favorite character in the play?
I think I do, actually.
Are
Captain
you willing
Horster.
To reveal?
Sure, Captain Horster.
And why?
Well, because he is that great, solid kind of character that I think sometimes we all wish we could be in the face of this kind of civic disruption. He's just so solid and has such a great practical, relaxed quality that it's like, I wish I could be that guy. That's my own personal feeling.
Mm-hmm. Does a character spring to mind for you, Gretchen?
Well, I was going to say Horster, too.
So second best.
Yeah, second best. I think I'm a big fan of Petra, because mm-hmm. Petra is
yes.
the daughter of Dr. Stockman,
yes.
and she's a teacher, and she's an idealist, but she's also really tough and strong, and not at all afraid to walk into the newspaper office and to look at the editors and these guys who fancy themselves as leftists and as great harbingers of a new future, and saying, you guys are hypocrites and you're out for your own best interest, the economic interests of this paper, and you really don't have convictions that you're willing to stick to. And in the face of all the criticisms about her father and her family and everything, I think Petra is really quite strong throughout, and she's one of the few people in the play that doesn't collapse or change sides, and I love that.
Yeah, very solid.
Does anything come to mind as a major challenge in putting this play on? Something you grappled with?
Well, I mean, the challenges for us at Bozeman Actors Theater, because we are a homeless theater company at this point, I think the challenges are mostly technical and logistical. We have a great, great, talented cast. It's kind of a dream cast, really. And so in terms of the actual moment-to-moment work of the play, I couldn't be happier and more thrilled with what's developing. It's all the things that it's moving props and costumes and settings into a new space, setting the space up, having to take the space back down. All of those sort of practical kinds of technical things that really are the biggest obstacles for me.
Well, and there is a crowd scene in the middle of the play that really is built for a larger cast and to give you a sense that you're in the middle of this town hall kind of assembly where people are angry and they're shouting out at one another and they're voting and they're calling for a vote and they're suppressing Dr. Stockman's desire to speak and to explain himself. And to pull that off with a small cast in a space like the Hager Auditorium is challenging. And I know it's a challenge you've thought about a lot, and I think that you're coming up with great creative ways to tackle it.
Yeah.
But it is difficult.
Yeah, it really is.
Mm-hmm. I want to get a little bit more into the themes of the play and maybe your personal interpretations of them. Near the end of the play, the main character, Dr. Stockman, says that he is the strongest man in the world. Or he says, rather, the strongest man in the world is he who stands most alone, and thinking of himself there. And I'm just wondering, is that plausible? Can a person alone really live a life or affect the kind of change that he wants to do? Or is he even beginning to descend into madness or become a parody of himself. So I'm just wondering about your interpretation of that, and or what you think Ibsen's thought is on how we should respond to that. Should we take that at face value?
Well, there's a great question. And it's actually something that I kind of want. I want the audience to go away asking those very questions. I don't necessarily know that I want to answer that for the audience. I want this piece to be food for that kind of discussion after the play for people on their way out, on their way home the next morning at breakfast, whatever it is. I do think what I see happening, and again, we're doing Miller's adaptation is slightly different. I feel like Ibsen is making a very strong statement about the individual, and we've talked about his sort of Nietzschean strongman kind of portrait of Dr. Stockman. I think that the way we're tackling this is that the world is closing in on the Stockmans at the end. I don't want to give away what's happening too much, but the world is definitely closing in on them. And he talks about it's going to be dark before it gets light again. And I feel that I hope that that's not happening in our world, but I feel like there is a correlation to some of the civil strife that's happening in our world. And so I think that that's more my take on what's happening. He is embracing the truth, and his statement about standing alone is based on sometimes when you are the holder of truth, you are very much alone against the majority. And that's kind of where we leave it. But we definitely are going to leave with the impression that the world is closing in on them, and it is going to indeed get darker before it gets light.
And to pick up on that, so I was at a run through of the play last night just to see it from first to last. It was the first time the actors had done it straight through. It was fabulous to see things come together. I was really struck by that moment that you cited when Stockman says that. He's standing surrounded by his wife, his children, and Captain Horster. Hmm. So even as he says, he who stands most alone, it's not really an individual. It's a small group of people that are going to build a new future together. So even as that statement sounds very much about one person, I'm not sure it is. Yeah. But I was really support that idea that you started with, Gordon, and that's that what we want is for people to talk, and what we want people to discuss and dialogue and debate. I mean, this is a play of ideas. There's not a lot of action in this play. The action is in the ideas. And so you have a lot of people talking to one another, changing sides, taking a position, and then challenging someone else. And the life of ideas and debate is what makes this exciting and relevant. And this is, again, not about answering these questions, but about opening them up. They're difficult questions. If they were easy to answer, we would have figured this out before now. And the whole point of putting on a play like this is to draw people together into a community so that they can think about these questions as the play unfolds and keep thinking about them the next on the drive home, the next morning at breakfast, and beyond.
So again, to kind of keep that ambiguity and you know, not to come across as too simplistic or that this guy is right and he's the model character that we should all emulate, what kinds of things do you do in terms of instructing actors, or do you just talk about it with them and so that they have a sense of this complexity also, a kind of a shared sense among the troupe that, you know, the way you say certain lines perhaps leaves that kind of ambiguity rather than, you know, leaving the impression that this is just a straightforward, you know, promotion of one point of view.
Yeah, no, I think that we were talking about that just last night after the show while we were giving notes, talking about each character's flaws. And I think, again, keeping that human quality, like Stockman himself is like all of us, is full of character flaws. And, you know, we talked about his temper. He has a real, his temper and his almost fanaticism when he's confronted with, like, well, maybe what you're thinking really isn't the truth. What that does to him sets him off in a rage, and so that human complexity, I think, is the thing that will create a lot of the discussion, because there's wonderful scenes where he's sort of being offered ways out, and it seems like, you know, and you look at the offers that he's getting, and there are people who I hope will go, well, what's the problem? Why don't you just say okay to this compromise? There's that word, you know, and I'm one who believes very strongly that if people would compromise in this world, we'd be a lot better off in many ways. But to Stockman, that is just it sets him off into a rage. Is that admirable? Is that a flaw? I'm not going to answer that question for you. I think you'll have to see it and decide for yourself.
But just in terms of the process, we did a read through of this play back in August. Mm-hmm. And so what we do as a production team putting it on is we do enter into these conversations with the actors about their characters, about the historical background, about these kinds of themes, sorts of questions that you've been asking us today. And so from the beginning, each of these actors has been exploring his or her own character, the lines, trying to figure out how to bring out that complexity. And because they're such experienced actors, I think they're really invested in each finding an arc and relationships with the other characters on stage that makes this rich and certainly full of the kind of ambiguity that's productive.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that there's any particular flaw in the play? That is there something you wish Ibsen hadn't put in or hadn't done this way? Or, you know, if you could adapt it further yourself, is there something that you think of that you might change?
Well, as some of what I think we believe Ibsen did wrong, Arthur Miller kind of tried to fix. And that was what Gordon alluded to before, is that Ibsen was interested in social Darwinism. He was interested in Nietzsche and this idea of a Superman figure that would stand above everyone. And Dr. Stockman ends up saying some rather uncomfortable things about the uncivilized people in the North who need a veterinarian rather than a doctor. And these are late 19th century views that are obviously not shared by us. And Miller dampened some of that, though not the veterinary line,
yeah, that's
sadly.
Still in there.
because he recognized the problematic nature of that. So yeah, every playwright is going to be a product of his or her own time period, and therefore we get the prejudices and we're embedded in our own cultures. So I suppose that's a slight flaw, but up against the structure and the ideas and the debates that Ibsen set up, I mean, I think, again, the play is so relevant and just works very well. It's been done in many theaters all over this country and all over the world, in fact, in the last 5 years. We are not the first ones that have realized how relevant this play is to our own time period.
Yeah.
Have you ever been tempted to write a next act? What happens in the town after the scene at the end of the play, or if you were to write that, you know, what might you put in?
I mean, I've been tempted with other pieces, not so much with this one, I think, because I do love that beautiful sort of open-ended thing that, you know, that ambiguity. So I haven't really thought about it that much with this piece. There are some, you know, and just to build a little bit on what Gretchen was saying, there's some language that even, you know, Miller wrote in the 50s, and so even some of his language feels a little what's the word, just a little archaic, I guess, but not to the point where I would want to change anything. What we didn't want to do, and there's been other productions that really tried to twist this piece into fit it into a specific political box, and I really didn't want to do that by, you know, adding certain things at the end and changing certain things and making characters a little more arched than they are. To me, that I can understand wanting to do that, but it makes it something else, I think. And again, you lose that human quality. I think that in working on this play, I've grown to really, really, I've already admired Ibsen's craft, but even more so just as the way it's constructed and the way one thing moves to the other, the way things build. He really, really was a master of his art, as was Miller. So you put the two together and, man, what a great combo.
Help me, Gordon, remember, there's a Brecht play that ends by saying the audience, there has to be a way, you have to write the end to this play.
Oh, I don't recall that.
Yeah, I'm not remembering which play it is. But that whole call that you get in Brecht and other dramatists about theater for social change is that we're not going to write the end of this play for you, because that's the audience's job to write the end of the play. That's all of society's job, is to figure out what's going to happen next. And, you know, back to what Gordon's saying about we're not going to reduce this to this play is about X or Y. I think there is no doubt that people in our audiences are going to look at this play and say, oh, this could easily be about climate change, among a host of other issues. But I think that this open-ended conclusion to Ibsen's play, or pseudo-conclusion, really does put the responsibility on the audience to say, well, what do you think is going to happen next? Where are we going to go? Are you going to be like Stockman? Are you going to be like Morton Kiel or Petra? Or what's the way that society can work together to address these issues? Or are we just going to be fated to repeating these same cycles?
Mm-hmm. Just in terms of science, and you mentioned that one of the motivations for choosing this play was that it was about a scientist or a scientific man or scientific results that were, you know, unfortunate for the community. But there's actually very little in the play that's about what I would call science or the process of science. And for example, the first thing I would ask if I were the newspaper editor or the mayor or even Stockman himself is, you know, well, can I trust these results? I got one test back, you know, from analysis of this water, you know, and especially if this is a major issue for people, wouldn't you want to carry that farther? And the fact that also Stockman has ideas that are, you know, that we find congenial as well as others that we find less so, you know, the science is more human and more complicated than just, here's a fact, you better respond to it. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't really seem to be very much in Ibsen's play, but is that something that either came up or you thought about?
Yeah, in our table work, which is what Gretchen was describing early on, where we're sitting together as a group and we're reading and talking about who these people are and what the situation is and what the backstory might be. We did talk about that, and it is, I think, one of the funds for this piece will be to talk to actual scientists who, as with the other plays that we've done, there's great fun to be had from talking to an actual scientist who will say, well, it really wouldn't happen that way or such. So, but I think that for the sake of dramatizing it, we will forgive certain license that is taken with the science and it not being super specific, because it ultimately isn't about necessarily that specific, like what exactly is this bacteria or this thing that's causing the sickness. It's more about what people do with that information. So yeah, I mean, we talked about it, but I don't think that we got super specific with what the science really is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we are going to have talkback panels after most of the performances, where we're having faculty from different disciplines, and we are going to have scientists that hopefully when such questions are raised, they will say, well, you know, this is a problem, or a lot of it reflects, of course, what a 19th century dramatist imagined. Right. He understood about microorganisms.
Right.
But another thing that comes to mind, though, is there is a scene very late in the play where Dr. Stockman's talking to his father-in-law, Morton Keel, and Morton Keel says, you know, are you 100% sure? Are you sure that that sample was correct, that there couldn't have been contamination, that, you know, and I think it's even implied, or that the lab did the results correctly? And what Stockman admits is, of course, what every scientist would have to say, is that we can never be 100% sure of anything, right? You might be 99.99% sure, but that element of doubt is what causes further scientific investigation and correctives to the mistakes of the past. And Stockman does admit that sense of doubt, which is, I think, true to any scientific inquiry.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for sharing your insights about the enemy of the people. And is there anything you'd like to add, or something that you've realized, become aware of, thought about in the process of working on this play?
Oh, well, you caught me off guard there. Yeah, lots of things. I mean, I go back to the relevancy to our current situation, and just reading the news every morning, and thinking about the polar opposite effect that our current climate is having. It troubles me, and working on this play has both made me realize the importance of this kind of discussion, and that if we can get people to just talk about things as opposed to being swayed by mob mentality, whether it's from your favorite media outlet or whatever, just try to think for yourselves.
And I would add, in the interest of generating these sorts of discussions, in addition to the six performances of Enemy of the People, we're having a special event at Inspiration Hall in the Norm Asbjornsen building on MSU campus. And that's on Friday, October 18th at 7:30 p.m. And it's called the Discussion Forum. And we're going to have a lot of events or presentations that night that are about the play and issues that spin off from that. So that includes a documentary film that we've had a couple of people working on. They've been interviewing people all over town from different backgrounds and constituencies about the issues that we've talked about here and many more. So there'll be a short documentary film. There'll be a panel discussion, a couple scenes acted out from the play, and also a presentation of student research, both undergraduate and graduate research. And that's in everything from the history of science to scientific presentations themselves, to artists' responses to some of these themes, and humanists as well. So this is the kind of event that we hope people, either who have seen the play or who are about to see the play, will come in and find a venue in which they can talk to one another and see other perspectives that help enrich in the experience of seeing and talking about An Enemy of the People.
All right. Well, thank you once again. And I look forward to seeing the play myself.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.